Okay, we can start. Let me go over here. So, actually, thank you for coming to this lab. It's very early in the morning, and so we didn't get a chance to put out the flyer. So, thank you for showing up. And I guess you are here trying to get understand Azure and get some hands-on experience with Azure. Is that your goal? Okay. So have you ever heard about Azure before or used Azure? So you have used? Okay. How about you, sir? Okay. How about you, sir? Okay. So I think we'll just do a brief. Should I keep quiet? So I will just do a brief introduction. Then we'll just jump right into the Azure portal. We'll do some hands-on experience. So this is me. I'm a senior TE at Microsoft. I publish some books and have a blog, et cetera, So today, I have two goals coming in. First, to get you to understand what Microsoft Azure offers, and then we'll focus on the hands-on experience with Microsoft Azure. But I see you don't have laptops with you. So probably I will just do the practice myself. So I brought quite a few trial subscriptions. If you want one, I can give this to you. But these are just trial passes. Each one has only three cores and about 30 gigs of storage. And if you actually don't have Azure subscription, you can go to azure.microsoft.com to get the free subscription. But I guess you guys must have subscription already. This session is pretty much unscripted because, yes?
I was
going to
introduce you.
All right.
Did you already yourself?
We're almost done.
Is that necessary?
Please go ahead.
There's some confusion where the breakout session is.
I mean, that's okay.
That's okay?
I mean, we only have five people now.
Yeah, but you've done quite a bit.
I did a brief introduction of myself,
okay.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, we have 45 minutes. I think we can just talk one-on-one. Actually, that's my to-do list coming in. I wanted to show the portal and basically do some operations on the portal. This is more like an introduction. But it seems you guys have been using Azure before. I think we can just diverge from this plan. We just discuss about some of the things you want to discuss about, like if you have some problems using Azure or if you have some feature requirement or some feedbacks. How about that? We just do a general discussion on Azure. Instead of going this. Do you think going through this has more value or just going through this? Okay, all right. Then, let's just get started. So for this one, let me go switch to a different PowerPoint. This guy, right? I'm not used to this. Is there a from beginning? All right. So I will just go through this slide really quickly, just some general introduction of Azure. Why the cloud? I guess people are on board of cloud now. We don't need to spend much time on that. Basically, you have the agility, you have scale, you have reduced cost of ownership, etc. And this slide is actually kind of important because to succeed on Azure, basically what we envision is that you and Microsoft is a partnership to deliver the final service. So initially you purchase everything by yourself, you set up the hardware, you write the software, and you get service delivered to your customer. But now with Microsoft, basically we are forming this partnership. We are building the infrastructure and we are building the supporting service for you. And what you can do is to focus on your application and your data, so together we can deliver a successful solution to your customer. And for Azure, quite frankly, we've been doing catch-ups with Amazon AWS. And I have to say, we've been doing quite a good job in the past several years. We have more and more data centers coming up. And if you'd like to see the numbers, about 57% of Fortune 500 are using Azure now. We have about 300K websites and 30 trillion storage objects on Azure right now. And also, we have about 13 billion authentication with our Azure Active Directory every week. So using Azure is quite getting to the larger and the larger scale. And we keep expanding our partner ecosystem. You can actually see a lot of partners and a lot of our services being onboarded to Azure. Actually, you can use many of those services and partners directly from Azure. For instance, we added support for the Oracle database. So now you go to the Azure portal, you can actually provision Oracle database in the form of virtual machines, if you like. And we have, for instance, we have integration with SendGrid. You can push your email notifications to your customers at a large scale. And for the automation management, we have Puppet and Chef integration. So if you've been using Puppet and Chef, you can use those systems to manage your Azure resources as well. So those are just several examples that we keep extending this ecosystem. So we are not saying by using Microsoft Azure, you have to using everything from Microsoft. Instead, we encourage you to use what you're familiar with, what you're comfortable with, what you have a relation with, but Azure will support all that. Actually, one of the questions I already get is that if Azure supports Linux, definitely. Basically, we have an unfortunate naming at the beginning. We call our platform Windows Azure. I think that throws a lot of people off, but thinking this is a Windows on the cloud. But actually, Azure is a platform. We support Linux and Windows. Those are both first-class operation systems. And we just renamed the Azure to Microsoft Azure. And going forward, you may hear it's just referenced as Azure by itself. So just to clear that, we are an open platform. You can use Linux, you can use Java, Python, everything. So for 2014, we released the 10th of new features, out of which we have quite a few recovery and the backup services in place. This allows you to do disaster recovery either from your site to a different site or from your site to Azure, and you can do backup either at the file level or at the virtual image level. You can do a different level of backups. And if we talk about mobile cloud, we also have the Xamarin framework, which is a framework that allows you to write cross-platform mobile applications that is powered by cloud. You only need to write your code once, and it will work on Android, on Windows Phone, and on iPhone as well. So it's pretty awesome. And we keep growing our features, and I believe you will see more and more announcements going forward. And how we see Azure is different from other cloud platforms, we have three pillars where Azure is especially strong in. The one is the enterprise grade. Actually, let me start with the hybrid. Basically, we acknowledge that especially for larger customers, you have a lot of on-premise resources. It's just unrealistic to ask you to migrate everything to cloud. So we provide very strong hybrid connections from the beginning. Our virtual network allow you to connect your on-premise network and your cloud network together as if they were on the same virtual network. And we provide different connectivities at application levels and service levels as well. For instance, if you have a local service, a WCF service, you can register a relay endpoint and you can just expose that service to the cloud. without a local a public IP address. Basically, it's endpoint to bridge connection. Those are just some examples of the hybrid connectivity. And I think I will skip the next one. And the other thing that Azure is unique is that we also provide and continue building on the parity between your local data center and on-cloud data center, which means your workload can be deployed on cloud or can be deployed on your on-premise system, and you can transit between the two, or you can combine them together. And I will keep skipping forward because. And the other thing is that as I just said, we are open platform. We support more and more open source tools and the languages on Azure. You can see we have quite a list, and the list just keep growing over time. I think we have Ruby support as well. It's not listed here. So basically, you can bring your own languages. It's not just saying you can run those. We don't only support the runtimes of those languages. We actually have SDKs and plugins and tools for you to actually to author and in those languages and deploy on Azure. And we even started to support container technologies like Docker. And even recently, we announced that we actually contributed to Google Kubernetes open source. I don't know if you heard about Google Kubernetes, but that's an open source framework that allow you to manage your containers in the cluster. So you can see not only we are improving our own stuff, we're actually reaching out to the open source community and improve on the open source community as well. And the next few slides is more on the business side. Basically, we provide a trustworthy computing. There's a tremendous effort for compliance and security reviews. You can see we keep adding our portfolio about the different compliance requirement. And the next one, I think this is what I'm going to spend a little more time because this slide shows kind of the ecosystem of Azure as it is now. Actually, if you want, I can go through each of the tiles on this one because I think they will help you to understand what's happening in Azure and what other services coming. So we can actually start from the bottom, the data layer. We have both relational and non-relational databases. We have SQL database. You can run SQL database as a virtual machine, or you can subscribe a SQL database service from Azure. And we have non-SQL storage like tables, blob storage, and queues. And just recently, I think 2 weeks ago, we announced a new document DB as well. Basically, it allows you to upload a JSON document, and it creates a rich index for you. So you can query the document by any of the field and combination of different metadata. And we also have announced the machine learning. That's a new service as well. I think it's released last month. Basically, in this service, we provide you a complete UI to build your machine learning modules. So basically, you can point a source data set, and you can pick from one of the pre-built modules, or you can build modules yourself, and you feed the data through those modules, and you can either do guided learning or a monitored learning to get the result, and then apply the module repeatedly to your business logics. We have HD Insight, which I'm not an expert with, but we do have a big data lab in the afternoon. So if you're interested in big data, you can go to that lab. Caching, we used to have our own caching engine, but now we adopted Redis cache. So now we have a cache offer based on the popular Redis engine. It looks and feels like a Redis server because it's a Redis server underneath. but we provide all the management on top of that. So you don't need to set up the cluster. You just go to the Azure and say, give me a cache cluster, then you get a Redis cluster. And I think the Redis itself is building clustering support. And once that is in place, we will support that as well. And the backup and the recovery, this is actually a slew of services. One is that we have Azure Backup. It's a simple agent you can install on your on-premise servers, and it will backup your files to your storage on the cloud. And we have site-to-site recovery. This is for you to set up to a failover from one site to another, or you can set up to failover from your on-premise site to an Azure site. And we also have StorSimple. That's a hardware appliance that you install on your local network. It can cache your business data, and it will back up the data back to Azure. The benefit it gives you is that it ensures the speed and the access availability of your data locally, but it also gives you this continuous backup to the cloud. And moving up at the application layer, the API management, again, is also a new service. Basically, this is a service allow you to expose your existing service as a REST API to the cloud. Let's say you have an existing client-server application. You have a server based on SOAP or other protocols. What you can do is to use API management to build a RESTful layer on top of it and expose it to the internet. And API management handles user registration, authentication, all those things for you, throttling, all the good stuff. Mobile service is not new. It's a service we built for the mobile developers. So it's a turnkey solution. You can create a service and have your mobile phones connected to it. It provides you a push notification and the server side scheduled job, et cetera. Websites, cloud service, VM, those existed from the beginning. I don't think I should recover those. A media service is a specialized service for media streaming. So if you're building a site or a service that requires to serve a lot of media files, you can use media service. It handles encoding, it handles management of media files for you. And notification hub is a service to allow you to send push notifications to a large number of devices and the programs. We are talking about like tens of thousands of devices. And scheduler is a service that allow you to create periodical triggered actions on the cloud. And there's a automation service. But for that, I'm not familiar with the automation service, but I think it is some kind of a management automation service. So for that one, I really don't know. So moving up at the integration layer, we have BizTalk services. If you use the BizTalk server before, it's similar to what BizTalk offers. And basically, you have this middle tier on the cloud. It's highly available, so you can integrate your systems. We have Service Bus, which provide your queues and topics subscriptions for you to do the message-based integrations. You can implement most of the message-based integration patterns using Service Bus. We have CDN, the Content Delivery Network, which is a straightforward. We have Traffic Manager, which allows you to distribute your traffic among different sites. For instance, you can have your site deployed on both East Coast and West Coast, and route your user to a closer data center based on their IP address or based on performance. And virtual networks is the one of the key services for our hybrid solution. We allow you to create point-to-site connection, which is to attach a PC to your virtual network, or site-to-site connection, which is to bridge two networks. And you can also link virtual networks together by the VNet-VNet connection. And just recently, we also announced that we support the Express Route. This is to run a dedicated connection between your network to Azure. So basically, we have two options. The first one is to meet Azure at the exchange point, which means your company will run a fiber cable to an exchange point, and the exchange point will have a dedicated connection to Azure. So in this way, you actually have a dedicated connection directly back to the Azure backbone. You don't go through the internet. This means faster speed, higher reliability, and because this is not over the internet, you really get a service level agreement from the connection provider as well. So you have ensured connectivity to Azure. And as the access control layer, and we have Active Directory. This is a relatively new. Essentially, we are bringing Active Directory to the cloud. It provides you authentication, user management, and recently application authentication as well on the cloud. We also have a new multi-factor authentication service. By setting up this authentication, basically you can enable your application to support multi-factor authentication. In addition to a user ID and password, you can send SMS message or use a phone application. There are phone applications for Android, for iPhone, for Windows Phone as well. So the user will need to enter an additional passcode to authenticate. And the client layer, of course, we support all those ecosystem. I don't think I should cover that because I mentioned what's relatively new is the Xamarin framework, which is the cross-platform framework for mobile phones. So that basically covers what's new in Azure. I actually also covers the previous service as well. So do you have any questions on this slide? No, we're good? Okay. So I think then we can just start on the exercise part. I don't know if you know already. Do I need to switch something? Oh, yes. Okay. At this point, we have two portals. I need to use to this. So if you go to portal.azure.com, this is what we call the preview portal at the moment. This is the, I think I go to the wrong address. Let me go to the old portal first. Sorry, I'm not used to this keyboard yet. Locked. Manage Windows, Azure.com. So this is the old portal. Let me use one of the subscriptions. This is really long. MS training event 1195 at outlook.com. So they signed in. Let me use a different account. The left click is not working quite well. Okay. BR2WRUSA. All right. I think I will just use my own account. I don't want to do the. I wonder why it's blocked. Really? It doesn't like my account either? Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. I don't know why they blocked the Windows Live accounts, I mean Microsoft account. It's a bit slow. So this is the old portal. Maybe you're familiar with this one. So this portal is what we call the current portal, which is pretty much resource-oriented. You can see the categories of your resources to the left, and you have, when you create a new resource, you just use the new button to the lower left. It's a canonical process for all kinds of resources. You start with here, to create a new resource, then you use the page to manage it. What I'm going to show is the new portal. I really need to get used to this click. So this is the new portal, which is currently in preview. Frankly, at the first look, this portal looks nice, but it might also be intimidating at the first, because this is a much more dynamic UI. But the way to understand this portal is this. All your operations are considered a journey. You start with your home page with live tiles that you can customize. This is pretty much like Windows 8 UI. You can pin your applications and the resources on the home page. And when you start a journey, you start with the new button. Let's say, in this case, I need to create a new virtual machine. Let me just pick the Windows Server 2012. And as you can see, as the journey goes, your screen is pushed to the right. That's how you go further and further along the journey. And as your operations complete, you're brought back to the left until you reach back to the home page. And let's say, currently, we don't have all the resources supported on the new portal yet. So in some cases, you may have to switch back to the old portal. But the idea is to eventually we will bring everything over to the new portal so you can do all the operations here. And for the virtual machine, actually, I'm going to show you this because it's kind of new. We used to have a series of sizes. We have standard size and basic sizes for you to choose from. And just recently, we announced a new series of size, which is the D series. And you can see this portal is designed for a higher resolution. So for the D series, you have a higher CPU speed and higher memory options. I believe you can go as high as 116 gigabytes of memory. And it also has a SSD disk as the temporary disk, which means you have a really fast read-write for your temporary data. Now I'm at the D series. And it also has faster IOPS for your computing intensive workloads. So I just want to point that out. We do have a new size. And you can see if I close this one, basically I'm backtracking my journey. I just need to learn how to do left click. And the rest is the same. Basically, you just follow the UI. It's actually, once you get used to it, it's really straightforward. You just enter all the necessary fields. And you can see the checkbox, add to the start board. That's your home page. Basically, after the machine is created, you have a tile right from the home page. So you can actually directly access to your virtual machines and your resources. And we also integrated all kinds of useful information on this page. For instance, you have billing information right here. And you have service health information from across all Azure data centers. And as I said, not only you can create Windows servers, you can also create different flavors of Linux machines. And also, oh geez, let me show you some of the new images on the gallery. So our VM image gallery keeps growing, and just recently we have, I'm really struggling with this computer because I'm not used to the click. Okay. Okay, I can't really scroll. So basically, we have a set of certified images now. These images are built by our partners and third parties. Essentially, we can bring different application servers and the infrastructure servers. You can create those images from the certified image gallery. And we also have a VM depot, which is owned by our open, which is owned by MS OpenTech. They have a whole bunch of open source based VM images. You can just go to the portal and directly create those images. I'm trying to think, geez, I really can't use this. And I'm trying to think what was new here. We covered the D series, we have the VM depot, we have the certified images. What else we cover here? And this is also new. Now we are introducing this concept called Azure Template. Basically, with the spirit of DevOps, we consider that application is made up by both application code and infrastructure code. And this is where the communication used to break between the IT pros and developers. But now we are allowing you to capture your entire infrastructure in an abstracted way as code, so that you can use this way to clearly communicate between your devs and your IT pros. And you can take the same template and deploy it to different environments reliably, so that you can have this assurance that you will have the same dev environment, QA environment, and when you transit to production, it will be a smooth production transition because you can describe your entire infrastructure in the very detailed, like as detailed as what kind of topology, what kind of a server, what kind of scaling you want to use. And going forward, you will see that we will integrate all the Azure resources into this template scheme, not scheme, but this paradigm. Actually, nowadays, if you create a new resource, I don't know if you noticed this. If you create a new resource, we are creating a resource group for you. And this is how we recommend you to organize your related resource to your application into a one logic group. And from an address perspective, we will provide information like such as billings and monitoring at the group level as well. So these are some new things that you may want to know about. I think I'm about to run out of time. Okay. So, but again, I have this subscription. I mean, if you want it, you can grab it. And you can reach out to me, hbai@microsoft.com, anytime. I mean, I work for the DX team, which is a developer experience team. We have the resource to help you to design your application or review your design or help you to solve technical problems and to bring your feedbacks directly to the production team. And this is all provided with no cost to you. Basically, that's what our team offers. So, yeah, I think this is it. Yes. Uh, There's no exact timeline yet, but it is a high priority across the Azure platform. Basically, we don't want to support two portals. We want to bring everybody to the new portal, but it takes time because actually underneath, traditionally, we are using an API framework called RDFE. This is all the Azure services talk to manage their services. Actually, for the new portal to support this resource group concept, we are coming up a new set of API. And you can imagine it takes time to all the team to switch to the new API framework. But it is coming. I mean, the team are working really hard to bring everything over to the new portal.
Taller than I am.
I'm standing on the stage.
This is a stretch for me.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess you guys don't need the subscriptions.